You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
Hallelujah, church. Can you turn to your neighbor and just say my sermon topic this morning? Now, to turn to your neighbor and say my sermon topic, you're going to have to know what my sermon topic is, right? So turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, don't panic. Turn to your other neighbor and say, don't panic. So while I was preparing the sermon, the Lord gave me a beautiful way of looking at don't panic. And I think once I'm done this morning, you will never look at panic in the same way. Amen? But every day, an adult makes an average of 35,000 decisions. From the basic decisions to the more intricate decisions. Amen? Perhaps your first decision this morning was to hit the snooze button on your cell phones to just sleep another 5 minutes. Who hit their snooze buttons this morning? Amen. So many of us, our first decision today was to hit the snooze button. After that, you had to decide what to wear. And then after that, you had to decide how you're going to get to church this morning. Which road are we going to take? Amen. But these are the basic decisions that everybody makes. These are the basic choices that we make. Outside of these basic choices, every day, you choose deeper truths to believe or reject. Amen? So you allow the Word of God to actually become a part of your heart, or you choose fear, anxiety, and depression to be the direction of your life. Every single day, you make the decision. You choose thoughts from heaven or thoughts from the enemy, or shall I say hell? Amen? Can I have one amen in the house this morning? Amen? Hallelujah. So you choose whether you're going to think about what God says about you, about seeing you as a victorious overcomer, or you decide to believe what the enemy says about you. And the enemy is so smart at saying just the right thing at the right time. Amen? So you choose thoughts from heaven or from hell, from the enemy or from Jesus. You see, life doesn't always go like we plan it. Right? Who's had the perfect week in the building this morning? No. Amen. Unfortunately not. When we get to heaven, we'll have a perfect day. Amen. But for here on earth, sometimes life doesn't go according to what we decide or what we'd really love to happen in that day. But then in those moments, we make certain decisions. Oftentimes, these plans cause us to actually have some anxiety and fear. Can you imagine? Let's speak about a few people in the Bible. Imagine how Peter felt after he'd looked Jesus in the eye and said to him that he would not betray him. And he finds himself betraying him 3 times that evening. He must have looked at Jesus in that moment, and a flood of anxiety, fear, and shame must have flooded his soul. Peter's day didn't go like Peter's day had to go. Amen. How many times did Peter's day not go like Peter wanted it to go? Peter started as a fisherman. Peter spoke too much. Peter just wanted to be there. Peter was even called Satan at a stage. I think half of us would have walked away from Jesus if Jesus called you Satan. Amen. He didn't say you like Satan. He didn't say you acting like Satan. He said you are Satan in what he was saying in that moment. But Peter stuck the course. Think of Adam and Eve. How would Adam and Eve have felt the day they found out that Cain had killed Abel? The first family murder in the Bible. Don't you think their hearts would have been burdened with anguish? What about Job? We always reference Job. How would have Job felt when his day didn't go like it had to go and he lost 10 children in one day? Can you imagine how Lot felt? We often focus on how Lot's wife had looked back and she'd looked at Sodom and Gomorrah, and all she had to do is just actually keep her eyes forward. Amen? But when Lot got to the place where he had to be after walking away from Sodom and Gomorrah, he arrived there without his wife because her disobedience had turned her into salt. Imagine the anguish in Lot's heart in that moment. Let's take another one, Jacob. Yes, Jacob, he sends his youngest son, Joseph, with a beautiful coat of many colors to go find his brothers. And his brothers come back to him, his sons, his flesh and blood, come back to him and they lie to him. And they say, an animal has fiercely killed our brother. Imagine the anguish that Jacob had to carry all those years thinking his son had died that way. we read the Bible and we don't always see that sometimes the days don't go like we thought they would go. What about David? David is sitting in the gates of the city and he finds out that Absalom has been killed. And the Bible actually says that he goes up into the upper room at the gates and he weeps. He cries. The last reference I'm going to use this morning, what about Paul the Apostle? Can you imagine how he felt in the moment when he reached out? He was persecuting Christians. He was killing them. He was actually even there when Stephen was stoned to death. And suddenly a light shines on him on the road to Damascus. And Paul says to Jesus, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you?" And Jesus says, "I'm Jesus, the one that you are persecuting." What must have gone through Paul's heart in that moment? Are you with me this morning, church? I'm laying a foundation. Just stick with me this morning. So Moses actually asked Jesus the same question. He's been in the palace. He'd been in the royal palace. He'd learned the ways of the Egyptians. He'd lived a privileged life. But after killing an Egyptian supervisor, he actually escapes to the desert and he's there for 40 years, where he learns to become a shepherd. He marries a wife, and one day outside in the desert, he sees this bush burning. But it's burning, but it's not being consumed. So Moses approaches this bush, and Jesus is there. God is in the bush. And he says, "Moses, Moses." And he says to him, "Listen, I want you to go to Egypt. My people, they are in bondage. I need a voice to help them get out of bondage." And what does Moses do? He says to God, "Suppose I do go to the Israelites. Who do I say sent me? Who do I say sent me? And Jesus says, "I am who I am." And that is the answer to every single scenario in our lives this morning. God says, "I am who I am." Amen? Amen? Let me tell you about the "I am who I am." It's not bound to one thing. It has dominion over all things. I am that I am is self-sufficient. God is more than existence. He is everything we need. Jesus is the answer to every problem. You could sit here this morning. You could be a single mommy. God is the answer to giving you the strength to raise your child. You could be sitting here this morning and you could be addicted to a drug. God is the answer. "I am that I am" is your answer. You could be sitting here this morning and wondering, "God, where's my spouse?" God says, "I am that I am, and I will bring her or him at the right time." Amen. He is all in all. And there is nothing he needs to sustain him. If we get this picture of God, our lives will change. Amen? He needs nothing to sustain him. He has no beginning and he has no end. He is our breath and he is our life. I am that I am. He's all-consuming. He's a fire. He's the fabric of what holds us all together. Do you need healing? I am that I am is healing. Do you need comfort? I am that I am is your comfort. Do you need breakthrough? I am that I am is your breakthrough. Do you need protection? I am that I am is your protection. Do you need peace? I am that I am is your protection. Amen, church. Do you need strength? I am that I am is your strength. Amen. Do you need an answer? I am that I am is your answer. You see, in the book of John, Jesus actually starts saying who he is. He starts revealing to us in the book of John who he is. Jesus first says, "I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life." Are you hungry for the bread of life this morning? Can I up it just a notch this morning in the house? Are you hungry for Jesus? Are you hungry for "I am that I am"? Are you hungry for the bread of life? Jesus next says in John, he says, "I'm the light of the world." He said, "I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. He illuminates the heart of man. He's the light to our path and the light in our hearts. Do you walk the path that is illuminated? But do you also allow the light to shine into your heart? Because we need both. We need the light to show us where to go and the light to show us who we are. Amen? He's the light of the world. Does the name of Jesus burn in your heart? Does the name I am that I am, is it tattooed on your heart? Is it burnt in on your heart? Is it burnt in on your soul this morning? Amen? The next thing Jesus says in John, he says, I am the door. Which is quite an interesting thing to say, because Jesus knew what about doors, because he grew up with a father as a carpenter. So Jesus understood a door. He understood what was needed to open a door. He understood how someone could knock at a door. He understood if a door was open, and he understood when a door was closed. Today, you decide, where is the door of your heart when it comes to Jesus Christ? When I am that I am comes and knocks at your door, is your heart's natural inclination to open the door? Or is your heart's natural inclination to put that little thing on that's at the hotel? Private. What does it say? Do not disturb. Am I speaking to you this morning, church? Jesus is the door. He's the bread of life. He's the light of the world. He's the door. He is there in every moment. Amen? The next thing he says, he's the shepherd. He's the shepherd. I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. That should bring revelation. That should bring revival this morning to you, church, because having a good shepherd means that the wolves will stay away. Sheep cannot function without a shepherd. Put a few sheep in the pasture with no shepherd. You know, it's actually proven that a sheep can't see very far. And I have a friend who has a sheep farm. She says they're really not that nice all the time. Amen? They can be quite stubborn. They can run into you from the back sometimes. Can you imagine? But we have a good shepherd. And doesn't matter if you're running into Jesus from the back or running into Jesus from the front, he loves you and you are his. Amen? Amen? What is the next thing Jesus says? He says, I'm the resurrection and the life. How beautiful is that? I am in your dying and in your living. What needs to die this morning? What needs to live this morning? Amen? He's the bread of life. He's the good shepherd. He's the door. He's the light of the world. He's the resurrection and the life. And the last thing he says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. He says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, we're going to have a good thing going. Because you know what? You need me to be who you need to be. Because you know what? Without the help of the Holy Spirit, we cannot be the Christians we need to be. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to forgive. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to continually forgive. It's not about forgiving just today. It's about forgiving today, tomorrow morning, the next morning. The next morning, the next morning, the next morning. Why? Because Jesus Christ forgives us today, the next morning, the next morning, the next morning, the next morning. Do you get what I'm saying, church? But you see, you need to be attached to the vine. For you to become everything you are meant to be, you have to be attached to the vine. Because a branch cannot survive without the vine. Put a branch down here, it's going to die. Look at all these beautiful trees. If we take these branches and we cut them off, those beautiful purple flowers aren't even going to last a day because they're not attached to the source, to the life, to the water. Amen? So do you know the great I am this morning? Do you know I am that I am? Because he says, I am that I am. Do you need a way maker this morning? We often sing, Waymaker, spiritual leader. That is who you are. That is who he is. He is our waymaker. He is I am that I am. Does your marriage need to be restored this morning? Or maybe you've been married so many years that you just need a fresh impartation from heaven. Let me give you good advice. Just put down your phone and you're going to have a fresh invitation from heaven. Amen? Can we give the Lord a hand? Do you need joy in your life? He says, I am that I am. Because I am that I am is peace, is joy, is a successful marriage, is a beautiful tomorrow, is the way maker, is the joy, is your protection, is your guidance, is your friend. Jesus is your savior, he's your friend, he's your today, he's your tomorrow. He says, I stick closer than a brother. Closer. I've got a new son in my life that's married my daughter, you know, Jovan. And him and Nathan are pretty close. Jesus is closer than that. He sticks closer than a brother. You know what the name I am that I am does? It takes off every limitation on your life that you put there, that the enemy puts there. Every limitation is consumed by I am who I am. You see, God is too big to put in a box. And he's too big to sculpture on a painting. My question to you is, do you know his ways and his heart towards you and others this morning? Amen. Jesus asked Peter, and this is where do not panic comes in. At the base of the mountain of transfiguration, who do you say the Son of Man is? Who do they say the Son of Man is? And you know what? We read the scripture, and every time I read past it, I just read past it because I was reading. And suddenly, I started realizing, but there's more to the scripture than what we realize. You see, today Jesus is still asking you the same question. Who do you say I am? Jesus doesn't just come to Peter. Jesus would come to you and say, Bernard, who do you say I am? Or Hendrik, who do you say I am? Bernadine, who do you say I am? Because your answer to that would determine how you live your life. Amen. So at the bottom of Mount Hermon, this is where the Mount of Transfiguration was, where Jesus asked Peter, who do you say the Son of Man is? And at the bottom of this mountain, this giant, there is this massive cave at the bottom of this mountain called the Cave of Pan. So you could just think it's a cave and, oh, it's a cave. And Jesus just asked a question at a cave. But this cave was as dark as hell. They actually, some scholars say it was the entrance to hell. And at this cave, many people would come to worship the god of Pan, who was half goat and half man. Stick with me, church. Can I tell you what the god of Pan's word comes from? The name of the god of Pan. The word comes from panic. So he said, this God is said to cause a sudden, intense fear and anxiety in animals and men. This fear starts suddenly without any clear understanding or any reason. At this very location, Jesus asks, who do you say I am? Because when Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of God, he was choosing God above what was happening on the outside in that moment. Because at that very spot, people were worshiping the God of panic. And I'm telling you, every single day, church, you decide, am I going to go up the mountain with Jesus and go see his transfiguration and go see who God is? Or am I going to honor this God called panic at a cave at the bottom of my mountain? Are you with me this morning? When you face panic, fear, and dread, it's decision time. Are you with me? Many times, church, in your hell, you decide who you're going to serve. Can I say that again? Many times in your hell, in your darkest place, you decide who you're going to serve. And you know what? You can join the hundreds and thousands of people serving the God of panic. They don't go up the mountain. They don't do the climb. They don't meet with Jesus. They cannot answer who God is. But you cannot serve panic and God together because God doesn't share a throne. Amen? 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 You choose today who you will serve. Are you going to serve the God of panic or are you going to serve the God Almighty? I am that I am. Amen? Every day, our cave looks a little different. And yes, that cave can take you to the pit of hell. And every day you choose, am I serving this God or am I going to serve God Almighty? Am I going to bow the knee? Am I going to take time to honor the God of panic? Or am I going to honor God Almighty? Because in your hell, you choose who you decide to worship. Amen? So Psalms 4 verse 1 says, God, you are my righteousness, my champion defender. Answer me when I cry for help. Whenever I was in distress, you enlarge me. Whenever I am in distress, you enlarge me. Whenever I am in distress, you enlarge me. I'm being squeezed again. Who feels like being squeezed sometimes? And I need your kindness right away. He says, grant me your grace, hear my prayer, and set me free. And set me free. You see, before going up to the mountain with Jesus, the disciples had to decide who Jesus was to them. Because Jesus said, who do you say I am? This morning he's asking you, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Are you going to honor the God of panic in this moment? Or are you going to honor me? Are you going to honor what the God of panic offers you? Fear, anxiety, depression? Or are you going to honor me? I offer you life and life in abundance. But unfortunately, the question remains in your hands, as well as the answer remains in your hands. Who are you going to serve? Make your serving intentional. When you go higher, you see more of Jesus. Those disciples had to leave the cave and make the climb up the mountain to be with Jesus. It took time and effort to get up the mountain. Are you putting time and effort in to get to Jesus? Because they didn't meet Jesus at the cave, they met him on the mountain. It's our Bible reading month. Can you imagine you can put in your bucket list that you've read your Bible in 1 month? 20 chapters in the morning, 20 chapters in the evening. I promise you, if we put down our cell phones, we stop playing Candy Crush, we look at no YouTube videos, Facebook is a thing of the past for the next month, you will get it right. You will get it right. And I promise you, it will feel like an explosion on the inside of you. Because you're taking the Word of God. You're taking what brings life and you're putting it in on the inside of you. I challenge you to come with us on the next 30 days to read our Bible together. I challenge you. I promise you, you will never be the same. It's impossible to be the same. Because when you read the Bible, you're spending time with Jesus. Amen? On the mountain, the disciples had an encounter with Jesus. We can be like the disciples every day and have an encounter with Jesus in the Bible. Yeah. You want to spend some time with Jesus? He's right here. I always say dusty Bibles lead to dirty lives. Dusty Bibles lead to dirty lives. You want to get some dirt out of your heart? Read your Bible. You want to get some unforgiveness out your heart? Read your Bible. But you know what? It gets back to where I started this morning, the decisions you have to make. It's a decision to walk into the cave of panic, and it's a decision to walk up the mountain. It's a decision. You know, but we don't even realize who I am that I am is. So many people in the Bible panicked. I went and I researched people that panicked in the Bible, and there were quite a few that panicked. We can speak about Jonah. Jonah panicked, right? He ran away, fish swallowed him. He had a great time. God spat him out. He had to do what he needed to do. Amen? We could easily speak about Elijah. He calls down fire. He kills all the Baal prophets. And a woman threatens his life and he runs away in the desert and he wishes to die. I think that's a bit of panic. What do you guys say? Think about Martha. Jesus comes to her house and he says, I'm coming to come and eat with you. I'm going to spend some time with you. And Martha, the Bible actually says she's anxious because of all the preparations she has to make. And Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. A little bit of anxiety in a different level, right? I can go on and on and on. But the most beautiful story I can use to demonstrate how somebody handles panic is if you look at Elisha with his servant. Elisha and his servant are in a house. Elisha is being hunted down by the king of Syria. The king of Syria can't understand. He's got the biggest army. He's got the biggest cavalry. And every time he attacks the northern kingdom, they know exactly what he's going to do. So firstly, he thinks that there must be someone telling a spy in his camp, telling somebody that he's coming. But then he gets the message, no, there's this man of God called Elisha. And Elisha's the one that's actually telling the northern kingdom king that he's coming. And when he's coming and how he's coming. So he's got a plan. I will send my entire army to kill Elisha. My entire army to kill one man. So he sends his army to Elisha, and Elisha and his servant is in the house. And can you go to 2 Kings 6 verse 17 for me? It's a little bit off my notes. And the servant says to Elisha, what are we going to do? He says, there's chariots, there's horses, there's an entire army outside ready to kill you. What are we going to do? And what does Elisha say in 2 Kings 6 verse 17? He prays and he says, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and he saw the hills full of chariots and horses of fire all around Elisha. We need to open our eyes to see what I am that I am is in our lives. Did Elisha pray for horses and chariots? Did he take his servant's hand and say, let's close our eyes and ask God to send the solution? No. He said, open your eyes to see what is already there. Do you understand what I'm telling you this morning, church? I am that I am had already placed chariots of fire around Elisha to fight the army coming for him. Amen? In your life today, God has done the same. He's no respecter of persons. He's already sent the answer to the things you are praying for. And sometimes his answer doesn't quite look like what we think the answer should look like. Amen? God has already sent it. He didn't have to pray for a miracle. The miracle was there already. If we live our lives knowing that the miracle is here already, I am that I am is preparing everything beautiful for me. Life looks different. I don't go with fear and panic into tomorrow because I know he's the source of my life. That's what we were singing this morning. He's the source of my life. He's the strength. He provides. He protects us. But do you know the great I am? I think that's the bottom line. Do you know I am that I am? Because Jesus will always come to you and say, "What? Who do you say I am?" Is Jesus for you chariots of fire? Or is Jesus maybe just somebody that you think could possibly help you maybe over the weekend? Amen? I hope I'm speaking to your hearts this morning. Because if you can establish who God is, we can establish what your life will be. Because those 35,000 decisions you make every morning in different ways, many of them are positive and negative. And you need to focus on the positive ones. You need to focus on those from heaven. And when a negative one comes, you need to be strong enough to say, this is not what heaven has planned for me. Amen? This is not what I am that I am has planned for me. Because I know I am that I am is the bread of life. I know I am that I am is the light of the world. I know I am that I am is my door to my beautiful future. I know that I am that I am is the vine that I am attached to. So don't come with nonsense, devil. Have you ever spoken to your thoughts like that? I have. I've looked in the mirror sometimes and said, hey, stop your nonsense now. I can't say it to my children anymore, and I can't say it to my husband, so I need to say it to myself in the mirror. Amen. Stop your nonsense. Start thinking thoughts from above. Start thinking what God says about you. Not just think it, start believing what God says about you. You were bought with a price. It cost Jesus everything to have you. Everything. There was nothing that he did not give to purchase your soul. Amen. Amen. So we need to stand up in the morning, and when we are faced with decisions that come from the pit of hell, we need to silence them. Amen? Can I tell you something else? You don't just silence it, you replace it. So you take that thought and you say, this is not my portion. And you take this beautiful book and you find a scripture in this book and you put that scripture in there. And if you have to remind your brain 15 times a day that this scripture's in you, you do that. Amen? We're doing it with the children's church as well. The next 31 days, we've built an app. Your children will get it. Every single day, they will learn one verse. For the next 31 days, and it's a little bear or a little owl or a little something that you push, and that scripture is read to them over and over and over and over again. Because if we can teach them at a young age to control their thoughts, imagine who they'll be when they're old. Amen? So we are not just going on a Bible reading plan. Our children are going on a Bible reading plan. And our young people are going on a Bible reading plan. That's why they're outside today. Because we're telling them, you are a teenager, this is what you're going to do in the next 31 days. Amen? And we're going to rewrite some processing. We're going to rewrite some decisions. We're going to rewrite some panic attacks with the Word of God. Amen? Because the Bible says in Philippians 4, what does it say? We always quote the scripture. Do not be anxious for, do not be anxious for, does it say do not be anxious for anything except your situation? Does it say do not be anxious except for your children? Does it say do not be anxious except for your business? Does it say do not be anxious except for your marriage? It says, and it's a command, it says do not be anxious about anything. He's saying don't panic. He says in every situation, what must you do? By prayer and petition, give thanks and present your requests to God. Present your requests to God. And the beautiful second, the next verse says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which means, you know what, it doesn't make sense that I have peace in the storm. It doesn't make sense that I'm not choosing panic right now. He says that peace will come and it will guard your heart and your mind in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's a different way of living. It's a mature way of living. Because, you know, Charles Spurgeon says that guard your thoughts well, for your thoughts are heard in heaven. Guard your thoughts well, because your thoughts are heard in heaven. Guard your thoughts well. Be a committed Christian. When God says, who do you say I am? Can you say, you are my everything, you are my Lord, you are my God, you are my source of life, you're the strength of tomorrow? Or do you say, Jesus, can you not see the anxiety I'm facing? Do you not understand the panic that is sitting in my cave this morning? But you see, the disciples also had to turn their backs to the cave and go up the mountain. Sometimes we need to let go of things that we're very comfortable in, because sometimes we're very comfortable in panic, because it's become our way. Who's that guy that always panics? Like, amen? So which decisions are you making this morning? Are you going to a place of the great I am? Or are you going to a place of panic? That's why we did the song this morning, where we sang. And that's why we even sang those words over and over, where we said, you are the source of my strength. You are the source of my life. Father, be glorified. Because you sustain. You. Because you sustain. Because you provide. Be glorified. You sustain. You provide. You've sent the answer already. You sent it for Elisha, and you will send it for me. You do not love your prophets more than you love me. Amen? Are you going to draw close to him in the next 30 days? Are you going to honor him in the source of your decisions? May God give us the grace to choose his way. May God give us the grace to choose his way.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.